Okay, we are in Shas Lekim Chavis Halvav Shar Avodas Lekim Perek Dalid. In the English, it's page 266. Thank you for the sponsor of that information. In my Lev Tov edition, it's page Reshut Gimel, but there are other editions. The Chavis Halvavis is leading up to a classic point in his very methodical, structural style. He's leading up to a classic point. He says, to recap, he says that everything we do, all of our actions, divide into three categories. There are the things that we have to do, mitzvahs, right? Things that you're required to do. There are the things that you're not allowed to do, averas. And then the third category is what we call rishus, or what he calls it, mutter. Things that are not mitzvahs, and they're not averas. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Like, you know, taking a shower, I suppose, that, or eating breakfast. These are things that if you want to, do it. If you don't want to, don't do it. Now, this will generally encompass many of our material activities. Eating, drinking, sleeping, dressing, showering, taking care of hygiene, health, family issues, etc. It encompasses many of our material activities. So here also, he divides our material activities, the rishus, the things that are not mitzvahs and not averus, he divides these into three categories also. And this is where we'll start. Hamutam is chalik l'shloich shechalokim. The things that, the parava things, also divide into three categories, meaning material activity that is neither mitzvah nor avera. Dea sipuk. There's a person caring, tending to his material needs, his material affairs, in an adequate kind of, balanced kind of way. Not underdoing it and not overdoing it. He's caring for himself in a way that he or she, that meets the needs comfortably. Valibui, then there's overindulging. Vakitzer, and then there's underdoing it in a way that does not really provide your material needs. And now he defines these three categories. Vedea sipuku, what we mean by balanced or adequate is mashi efshala adam lamoid bil adav v'takanas gufoy van hogasinyanov. It means the things that a person needs in order to, for his physical and material welfare. Kamaya mazan b'machal uva mishta. Nutrition, food and drink, amalbush, dressing, machse, it's shelter, a person has to tend to his home, vadibor, and also talking. Okay? And sheikach mehem kedea sipuk v'anachoyna shebohem yikon inyonoi. I skipped a line. It's all these things. He dips into these things in a balanced kind of way. He does these things in a disciplined kind of way. He does not get completely carried away with these things, but he does them to an adequate extent. So, that's number one. Again, skipping again a little bit, another line. V'achelek hasheni shehu aribui. Then the other category is overdoing it. Overindulging. V'hu avor gvul de'a sipuk el ha'tosefes. That's moving past the line of adequate into the line of excessive. Asher ein tzerech bala adam. That man doesn't need. K'mayor riboy min ha'machol v'amishte. Too much eating or drinking. Kvar hizir mimenu ha'chacham. Shlomo already warned against this, but Amroy, when he said, al tehi b'soiv e'yayin b'zoil le'basar lamoy. Don't be a glutton. Don't be a wine guzzler or a gorger of meat. V'chein she'afliig li yiskashet b'malbushim. Also, when it comes to dress, a person goes overboard in terms of attention to dress and gets completely obsessed with it. A person has to look decent. A person has to look dignified and nice. A person should look good. We, lemaisa, carry tzelem elikim, And that should be nicely and reflected in the way we look. But not to go overboard. And also, going overboard in terms of one's home. A person can get carried away and having to have every last gadget and the mamish, the final word in interior and exterior design. It turns into an endless pursuit. Talking too much. That's another material activity that has to be done with discipline. When a person talks too much, he will inevitably accumulate averis, because talking too much in an unfettered kind of way without any monitoring will be gathering lashon hara here, einaz dvarim, that's, you know, hurtful speech there, etc. And then he talks about also areas of relations can also be overdone. We skip a bit. Vishtadlus beroiv hakinin v'kibbutz hamamon. Also, a person can get overly involved in making money. This can turn into an excessive activity. Now, again, skipping a couple of lines. Yes, I keep doing this because Chavos Halavos is a lengthy sefer and a lot of times has psukim, etc., supporting his points, and I'm trying to just keep focused. And so we're doing something of an abridged a version, if you will. V'kol ma shezocharnu b'takonas hagufo izvana oisam negune b'achoyna. Overindulging when it comes to our physical needs or desires is considered wrong. Mipnei shemevi ha'odam al ma shehizher abayri mimenu v'osar oisay. When a person is overly indulging himself, he will run into problems, into forbidden areas. Just to give a few examples. If a person maintains a very, very high standard of living, that becomes difficult to keep up financially. Let's say a person feels that they have to live up to a certain standard in terms of their home, right? In terms of dress. And always has to be cutting edge. So that costs a lot of money. And the person might have ups and downs in terms of his financial situation. When a person puts himself into a situation where he constantly just has to be spending a lot of money in order to keep up with the standards he set for himself, it will create problems. It will create problems of dishonesty. It will create problems of people getting themselves into debt over their heads and then having problems paying it back, which will be messing up other people, etc. We see these things all the time. Eating and drinking too much. So, also, when a person is not able to control his eating and drinking habits, so first of all, besides the fact that it isn't healthy, here too, kashrus will become more challenging. Because when the right hashgacha is not available, but the person is already used to just indulging himself whenever he wants to, it'll become challenging. Speech, certainly. So, you don't want to have a situation where there's any material need or activity that takes you over. Now, I want to note, we mentioned this last week, that overindulging does not mean how it's sometimes taken, that when you sit down for a meal, you really have to measure, do you really need all the food on your plate, or perhaps it's not what you need for your survival. Maybe you can make do with 80% of the food on your plate, and therefore the extra 3 forkfuls at the end is already overdoing it, and that's already wrong according to the Chavos Halavos. No, certainly not. When we talk about tending to your physical needs, we don't mean in a way that enables you to survive biologically. Part of a person's welfare is his emotional welfare. And, you know, what's the justification for eating ice cream? Doesn't contribute to your nutrition. But you know what? Sometimes a person needs things like that for his emotional well-being. That, too, is part of living. Living means to be living in a way that you can function comfortably. The same thing goes for... You don't have to figure out exactly how many meters do I need in order to function in a basic way. a person is permitted and even encouraged to live in a way that enables him to function comfortably, in order to focus on spirituality, in order to give to your family, etc. You have to be living with a certain peace of mind that, yes, that'll come from sometimes indulging yourself in a bit more of this, and sometimes allowing yourself a bit more space here, and a pretty that, etc. Even though these things are not strictly speaking mamish physical needs that you need for your survival. But we all understand that there is a line between that and going overboard. Going overboard and letting these things turn into an obsession, letting these things that takes over our life, or even just letting these things turn into something that's not in our control. That, you know, food dictates, I don't dictate when I eat, but the food dictates when I eat. If there's food, I eat it. Here already, when a person is not holding the reins over any of his physical activities or his material activities, when a person's not holding the reins, but rather he's controlled by these things, that's where it turns problematic. Okay. So this really is a fundamental point. The point, the understanding that you don't have to be figuring out exactly where the line is. And people sometimes say, so where is the line? When is it already considered overindulging? You can leave that area gray. But we all know where it's already past the gray point and already in the point where in any particular area this already really is being overdone and is starting to turn into something that's taking me over and that I'm not in control of. Once you're not in control of it, once you're not capable of telling yourself, no, now is not the time, or this is not something I need, then it already is in a certain problematic place. This is really something that deserves more elaboration, but let's first move forward and let the Chovei Salavos complete his point. Then the third category is underdoing it. Vuhu, what does that mean? Shalayagia ha'odam el geder de'a sipuk. The person is not providing his needs adequately. B'machol, b'mishte, b'malbush, b'mishgal, b'dibur, b'sheina. U'basek b'tolche amazen. A person is not providing his needs adequately when it comes to food, drink, dressing, relationships, speech, sleep, and making money, etc. A person doesn't see it so important to care for his material needs. And he doesn't care if here or there it's underdone, it isn't adequate, I'm not eating enough, I'm not sleeping enough, I'm not involved enough with my family, I don't have enough social activity to enable me to be emotionally healthy. Is that okay? Is that problematic, or is it just okay? If you don't have to, you don't have to. So, the Chovei Salavos breaks it down. Zeyecholek l'shnei chalokim. He says this can divide into two parts. Sheyech hasidus ole inyan ha'olam. It could come from a place of piety, or it could come from a material place. Oma sheyesh mimenu l'chasidus l'yizkorev bo el Hashem. Al derech haprishus, if it's coming from a place of piety, and a person is trying to get close to Hashem through abstinence from certain material things, hu meshubach, that can actually be praiseworthy. Now, I want to make a point here. I want to insert here already that yes, there is the Chovei Salavos is introducing us now to the concept called precious abstinence, and or asceticism. Now, this is a complicated subject. The Torah in general does not push for that. It is not an expected way of life. When it's done wrong, it can be very damaging, even if it's well intended, and it can very much hamper a person's spirituality in more important areas. So, precious, it's something that has a place in the broad scheme of Judaism. It has a place. When a person is on the right level and it's coming from a certain desire to grow further, and it's naturally where, really where he's at now, it has a place, but it has to be very well defined. So as far as we're concerned right now, the truth is that the Chovos HaLevavos has a whole section dedicated to it. It doesn't just mean doing, you know, depressing yourself, depriving yourself, etc. A person has to be in a very particular place in order for it to be appropriate, and that'll be discussed later in the Sefer. So all we're saying right now is, we're not saying in a general way, hey, if you want to deprive yourself and starve yourself and not sleep so that you'll become closer to Hashem, we're not saying that now. That's a great thing to do. We're just introducing the concept. Know that there is such a concept. It has to be well defined. It'll be defined later in the Sefer. But there could be such a reality of certain people on certain levels in very certain circumstances for whom this may be appropriate. We'll see. Well, much later. But if it's not doing, if it's not being done for those precise spiritual purposes, but there are other reasons why a person is not adequately caring for his own needs. Let's say a person is too miserly to do that. A person would rather pinch pennies than eat adequately, or then have a normal home, or care for his family normally. That's no good. Or, let's say the person just wants to be known as a person who doesn't have large material needs, but really what he's doing is depriving himself. That's no good. Because he is abandoning a balanced path, and he's depriving his body, and he's doing it because of material interests. He wants more money, and therefore he's depriving his body. So this is an important point to understand. The Chovos HaLevavos is saying that this is wrong. We have to understand something. A body is a very, very valuable tool given to us by Hashem. And it's a high-maintenance instrument, and it's there for a very, very sacred purpose. Later in the Sefer, the Chovos HaLevavos compares the body to an office. Let's remember that we aren't body. We aren't body. We might feel like we are, but we're not body. We are neshama. Neshama is a very, very high being, the highest being that there is, that Hashem created. And this neshama really is something that its place is in the highest of spheres, and it's something eternal. And we were given something of, you might call it a disposable package, called a body, which the neshama needs just to arrange its eternal state. It needs to use this body for a short time just to set up its eternal state, its eternal existence. But what is that body? The way the Chovos HaLevavos describes it later is it's a very elaborate office. It's an office equipped with all kinds of great gadgets and technology that enable the neshama to come in and do its job. And it has all the trappings, everything that it needs available. It's like a person, you know, is given a new job, and they pamper him by providing him with an office, with all the software, all the technology, even with a bar, and even with a driver and everything. They really equip him with everything he needs for the job. This is the body that Hashem gave you. That's how the Chovos HaLevavos relates to it later on. Now, this means, in essence, that the body is not really yours. It isn't really yours. Therefore, a person doesn't have the right to say, I don't care about neglecting my body, because it's given to you to do a function with. And therefore, you have to keep it in a state that enables you to do that function well. And therefore, yes, you have to take care of the body. You have to take care of the body, keep it healthy, keep it well, as well functioning as you can, and also to keep it in a happy state, to keep it in a happy, comfortable state such that it can really be productive. It's not enough just for the body to be physically healthy in order to be productive, also emotionally. It has to be emotionally comfortable in order to be productive, And that's part of our duty. All that is part of our duty in our avodas Hashem. The Chazon Ish said that caring for your health, he said it's a beloved area of service of Hashem. It's an important point to note. Think of areas of service of Hashem. So we think of there's midas, there's shmiras haloshen, there's halacha, there's davening, there's learning Torah. And the Chazon Ish is saying that there's another area of avodas Hashem, of service of Hashem, that Hashem cherishes, and that's when a person takes care of his health. That's something to keep in mind. So unless a person has real, solid, concrete justification to be neglecting his needs, and that's, as we said before, that's a complicated subject, then it's considered wrong to do so. The natural situation should be that a person is comfortably caring for his material needs. Okay. Now, I want to add, Sanaa B'Chavetz says something interesting, which both of them have to be qualified for people of our times. I'm moving a little bit further in the paragraph. He says, there are two areas, though, that you can deprive yourself. There are two areas that you can deprive yourself. I don't know. Go check. There are two areas where you can deprive yourself. Aval adibu v'ashena. He says, when it comes to speech, and when it comes to sleeping, hakitzu b'hem meshubach. If you underdo it, that's good. Hadibur, speech, mifnei shashtika achrisa yoyser toiva. Because whenever a person keeps quiet, he ultimately gains. So this is a very important, big sugya. First of all, the understanding that speech is to be viewed as, this is really step number one, speech is to be viewed as other material needs, which have to be done with discipline. You have to be done with discipline. Just like overeating, overdrinking is not healthy, overspeaking is not healthy also. It gets a person into trouble. And in general, you don't want to be in a situation where your mouth... where your mouth is unfettered, it runs free, whatever rolls in, rolls out, whatever rolls into the mind just rolls out of the mouth. We want to be in a situation where we control the things we say. And here, Chazal and all the Sfarim tell us that the more you exercise not saying things, the better off you'll be. Lashon Hara, Shmiras HaLashon, is such a struggle for so many of us. It's something that's very, very hard to work on. A big part of the difficulty comes from the fact that, like, whereas with food, let's say, you're not automatically eating all day. You know, when you eat, it's a decision. You go, you get something, and you take it, and you eat it. It doesn't happen automatically. Whereas with speech, it does. Speech just happens automatically. And we generally, when it comes to things that aren't forbidden forms of speech per se, we have no reason not to say something that comes to mind. Anything that comes to mind, there isn't a reason not to say. What ends up happening is that we have a reality where speech comes automatically, and all of a sudden we're told that when it comes to certain things, you have to catch yourself and not let it out. But since we're so used to, we're so accustomed to just letting things roll out by themselves, it becomes very hard. We often catch ourselves a moment after we said it. And therefore, it is important to exercise control in this area. Not just to work on not saying Lashon Hara, because to work on not saying Lashon Hara, it's circumstantial. It's hard to work on that effectively, because you can't necessarily predict when it's going to become relevant. If you would know that you have a plan, at 7 o'clock every day, you really have a Lashon Hara session, and you're not going to do it today, then you can make it into a program of avoida, a program of self-improvement. But it's very hard to do that otherwise. So, yeah, there's the idea of having an hour a day where you don't talk Lashon Hara. That helps to an extent. It certainly does help to an extent. But on the other hand, what happens if it isn't even relevant? Because at that time, you're doing something else anyways, and it wouldn't be relevant. The way to really work on it is to, on a consistent basis, practice not saying something that comes to mind. You have something parva. something that's fine if you say it, but it's also fine if you don't say it. And you practice self-control in this area. It's actually interesting. We just mentioned before the concept of precious, of abstinence, right? So the Chovas HaLavas later in the Sefer says, whenever we speak of precious, whenever we speak of abstinence or asceticism, we think of people fasting. We think of people providing their basic material needs, right? But the Chovas HaLavas, interestingly, he says, if you want to practice abstinence, the place to start is with speech. Skip some things that you could have said, not forbidden things, skip some things that you could have said, decide you're not going to say them. When a person gains, flexes these muscles, when a person develops these muscles and gets used to not saying things as they roll into his mind, he becomes more aware of what's coming out of his mouth. We'll give another tip in a moment. He becomes more aware of what's coming out of his mouth, and then it becomes easier to control the things that should not be said. So this, in general, is a very, particularly now if we're approaching the Yom Ne'roim, this, in general, is a particularly recommended area of work. Speech, it's relevant to almost everybody. I'll actually add another tip. First I'll make the point of the Chovas HaLavas that we should make here in the context of the Chovas HaLavas, and then I'll add another tip in this realm. Having said that, having said everything we said, this does not mean that a person should turn himself, should view speech as something negative and simply stop speaking. This mamish comes back to the parallel that we're drawing between speech and other material needs. Speech, social speech, I'm not talking about things that you need to do, you need to call the bank to take care of a material affair. But no, social speech is also a need. It's something that we need for our emotional well-being. And therefore, this is also something that you should provide yourself with. It's another area not to deprive yourself in. Somebody asked me that, a conscientious woman was saying, who was very inspired to really be working on Shmiras HaLashon. She said, maybe I should avoid all small talk. Maybe I should avoid all small talk. No, don't avoid small talk. Because small talk is an emotional need. And it's something that it enables us to connect with other people. And yes, it's an important need like other needs. But we come back to the same point as with food and drink. Do it in a controlled way. Don't just let it control you. It shouldn't be something that just happens automatically. Try to gain control of it and have some awareness of what you let out of your mouth and what you don't let out of your mouth. So one etza, as we just discussed, is to make a practice, to make a regular exercise here and there. Again, not to just completely seal off, I'm stopping to talk now. But here and there, something comes to mind, and it's something completely parav. I'm going to exercise, be it once a day, whatever it is, just not saying something for the purpose of flexing my muscles, my spiritual muscles when it comes to speech. I'd add another point, another tip in this area. And that is, again, if we want to gain control over the things we say, it's to actually davka sometimes say certain things, make a point of saying certain things. Like what? This is the Eitza that I heard of Matisyahu Solomon giving. It's such a beautiful and profound Eitza. Every so often, decide once or twice a day that you're going to say something positive. You're going to decide that every so often, whether it's with a spouse, with a child, with a neighbor, whatever it is, once or twice a day, or whatever works for you, I'm going to look for something nice to say to the person. It's Lashon Tov, right? Good speech. And what's the idea here? The idea here is it's the same point that we made before, but coming from a different direction. We don't want to be in a situation where speech is just something automatic. We want to gain more awareness and control of the things we say. When we make a point of consciously deciding, now I want to say something of a certain nature, that also goes a long way toward making us more aware of what's coming out of our mouths. And interestingly, that will actually help me be aware of negative things that are about to come out before I say them. So, coming back to what we said before, if we recognize forbidden speech as an area that we struggle with and we want to work on it, so we just provided two eights, two suggestions as to how we can perhaps make progress in this area. One is not just to work on not saying wrong things, but to exercise holding back when I have something to say, even if it's just parv. To create a reality where not everything rolls out automatically. That's number one. And number two, to make a point of every so often consciously deciding, not just in a reactive kind of way, but now I'm going to look for something positive to say to somebody. This also will serve to make us more aware of the things we say. Now, coming back to the Chavis HaLavis, he's going more extreme. And he's saying that, you know what, speech and sleep is something that just, there it's justified to deprive yourself. He was talking from the perspective of a Rishon from 1,000 years ago. We can say that for us in our generation, we allow ourselves to say, this having the authority of great people, that no, we should not be depriving ourselves in these areas either. But what, yes, we do want to gain control of these areas, to bring them under control. Any area of material activity, it can be a very important, a part of our life, as we'll see the Chavis HaLavis say soon, that actually joins the category of mitzvahs if we're doing them in a controlled way, if we're doing them in a way that we hold the reins and not that these things hold control over our life. Okay, just we'll take out a few minutes just to address the upcoming Yom Neroim Im Yitzeh Hashem. Upcoming Yom Neroim. A lot to daven for this year. There's a lot to daven for this year. And the events of this past year actually put us in a certain position to really know what it means to daven. To know what it means when we say that on Rosh Hashanah things are decided and we have no idea what the coming year is going to hold. But I want to make a bit of a specific point. And that is, it's a point that Rabbi Nayana says, and this is developed further by later Sfarim. When we approach the Yom HaDin, when we approach the Day of Judgment, we want to, so to speak, Hashem to be in a favorable state. And you know what? He also wants to be. Hashem wants us to succeed in the Day of Judgment. And it's for that very reason that he tells us about it. Why did he inform us that Rosh Hashanah is a Day of Judgment? You know why? Because he wants to tip us off. He tells us in advance, there's a Day of Judgment coming, I want you to do well. On the one hand, I'm the judge, but at the same time, I'm your father. And behind the scenes, I'm actually signaling you, and I'm giving you some aitzes as to what to do in order to do well on this day. That's why Hashem gives us the tip of blowing the shofar. And Hashem gives us the advance notice that, yes, the Day of Judgment is coming up. Why is he giving us this advance notice? He's tipping us off. He wants us to do well. And he wants to be in a favorable state, so to speak, when we actually approach him on the Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment. And there are a number of things that we do in order to have that favorable state. The shofar is one powerful instrument, but I want to talk about something a little bit more general. It's something that the Sfarim referred to. Rabbi Meir Zilberberg Shlita talks about this at length. Putting yourself into a pleasant world. He calls this, the term he uses for this is Heichal Azchus. Rabbeinu Yenis says in general that Hashem will relate to us in his judgment of us in the way that we relate to the people around us. If we take a forgiving and easygoing attitude toward the people around us, that's the attitude that Hashem will take toward us. If we let things go, Hashem will let things go. if we bend over backwards, Hashem will bend over backwards, so to speak. Tzvi Meir Zilberberg brings from the Sfarim that there's this concept called Heichal Haschus, the sphere, the zone of just merit and pleasantness. Meaning, if you move yourself into a place of pleasantness, where you are just exuding pleasantness, cheer, a good feeling to the people around you, you're creating a reality. You're creating an environment, and Hashem allows you to create the environment that you're going to be in when you move into the Yom HaDin, when you move into the Day of Judgment. The more we can put ourselves, the truth is that this already says in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Poskim, that on Leil Rosh Hashanah, we eat all these different foods because of their symbolism, right? We eat this because we want to be, we want to multiply, and we eat that because our enemies should be cut off, and we eat all kinds of different things with their different symbolisms. So, famously, there's a famous quip of the Gerer Rebbe that it says in the Sfarim that you're not supposed to eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah because nuts, the word egoiz in Hebrew for a nut, it has the gematria of the word chet, or the word avera. It's the same numerical value. It's the same gematria. So therefore, you don't eat nuts. So it's not to come anywhere near the semblance of an avera. So the Gerer Rebbe used to say, you have to remember that chet also has the same gematria as chet. Meaning it's not enough just to abstain from nuts. You have to abstain from chet also if you want to gain that benefit. So along these lines, the Mishnah Berurah says that with all the different symbolisms, you have to remember that there's another very important symbolism, and that is we only eat sweet things, right? We're not supposed to eat bitter things on Rosh Hashanah. We only eat sweet things. Why? We want to be in a reality of sweetness. So the Mishnah Berurah says that all the more fundamentally applies to your disposition. When you sit down at the Suda, when you come into the house, or if you're in the house and you're relating to your family, etc., you want to be in an environment of just sweetness, pleasantness. Try to just bear whatever's going on, regardless of the way the people around you are acting or challenging you. You are just the source of pleasantness, of goodwill, of cheer. And this is a much more powerful form of symbolism, because it's more than symbolism, it's actual reality. This is a lot more powerful than the honey. It's a lot more powerful than all the sweet things that we eat on Rosh Hashanah. It's a lot more, and avoiding a bitter disposition, avoiding anger, avoiding annoyance, is a lot more of a powerful reality than avoiding bitter foods, than avoiding crane, etc. And this puts you into a reality of cheer, of pleasantness, of goodwill. And that's the reality that Hashem will operate in also. That's the reality that Hashem will operate in also. And like the Sfarim tell us, Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh. It's the head of the year in terms of the rest of the year is going to unfold from Rosh Hashanah. Whatever realities we can create on Rosh Hashanah will very much affect the rest of the year. If we can start our Rosh Hashanah from a place of pleasantness, a place of cheer, a place of goodwill, a place of a good feeling, exuding good feeling to the people around us, Bezras Hashem, our coming year will be locked in as a year of pleasantness, as a year of cheer, as a year of bracha, and we'll all merit a true kasiva v'chasima toiva. Okay, we'll end here.